we're back on the show here. This is Wooden Sticks. I am Kevin Gork from Bally Sports North. Looking forward to another great hockey conversation today. Got off to a great start. We had Lou Nanny on for episode one, into Rachel Ramsey for episode two, and this past week we had Pat Micheletti on for episode three. So we're trying to connect with players, managers, coaches that have ties to Minnesota. It's my 18th year on the beat covering the Minnesota Wild on the TV side. And so you have these connections that you foster. And before that, I was a women's college hockey coach. Before that, I was a boys' high school hockey coach, all here in Minnesota. And so the connections you make over the years tend to stay with you. And hockey is still a small circle, and those friendships last a long time. And today's conversation, once we get to it, will be with Elk River's own Nate Prosser. And, you know, there's two sides to every coin, right? I'm 57 now, so I'm getting a little older, and travel beats me up a little bit. I don't bounce back like I used to after landing at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning and changing cities and packing up and repacking. But the flip side of that coin is, in a situation like today's show, I covered Nate Prosser back when he played college hockey for Colorado College. I covered his entire career, which started back in 2009 with the Minnesota Wild. And so I've got a great rapport with Nate. I've got a great friendship with Nate. I know the backstory. I've met his wife, Brittany, and his four girls. I know his dad quite well. And, you know, I also know some of the big moments in his career. And so it's going to be really fun today to connect with a player that I know so well. And going back to my days covering the Wild when Nate was there, he's one of my go-to guys. He's a terrific communicator. He had his own podcast here on the Talk North Network. So really going to be a fun show. We're going to dive deep into Elk River hockey, where it started, Hanky Pitt, which was front and center a decade ago when we had Hockey Day in Minnesota. And of course, that movie type magical ending to Hockey Day in 2014, when Nate Prosser is on the ice in 3-on-3 overtime, which on its own is crazy enough. But then he scores the winning goal against the Dallas Stars to put a cap on it. Just an amazing edition of Hockey Day. The spot that we were at out in Elk River, I mentioned it, Hanky Pitt, is just a beautiful, beautiful area. And I know how proud Nate was to be a part of that. And then having a chance to look back a couple of years ago, we had him on our broadcast and we kind of did a walk back in time. And Nate got to take us through the emotions that he had that day. And not just Elk River. He played in the USHL. He played in the WCHA in the good old days when, you know, Colorado College, Denver, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, UMD, some amazing venues. I can't wait to hear some of his stories about the buildings he played in college and what they were like on a Friday and Saturday night. And then maybe his thoughts on how college hockey and the landscape has changed since the Gophers now switched to the Big Ten. And then I really am excited to talk about his time with the Minnesota Wild. He was a terrific player, kind of under the radar because he wasn't a great offensive weapon on the blue line. But, man, he was so tough. He was so smart. He was so coachable from talking to some of his coaches like Mike Yeo, who always seemed to get a big smile on their face when they talk about Nate and how much heart he brought to the rink, how much passion he played with, and had a terrific career. You don't play that long and play that many games without being a really, really good defenseman in the National Hockey League. And then, you know, life after hockey. I think for all these guys, it's a big transition when the game is over. And I can't wait to ask him about maybe some of the things he misses, maybe some of the things he doesn't miss. Because I think we all see the glitz and the glamour. We watch the Minnesota Wild and we see all the good stuff. But behind the scenes, these guys are playing through injuries. They're away from their families. And Nate's a big family guy. And I mentioned the four girls and his wife, Brittany. Like, this is a hard thing when you're a player, you know, when you're starting a family to be away from a lot. And there's a ton of travel involved. So we're going to talk about that. And then he's got a great relationship with his dad. His dad's an awesome dude. Got to see him around the rink throughout Nate's entire career. And maybe how that had an impact on him. His dad was a great athlete and a really good hockey player as well. So I think there's going to be, as some folks say, a lot of meat on the bone today talking to Nate Prosser. And really excited about the way the first few editions of this endeavor have gone. I'm really pumped about Wooden Sticks and really happy you've found us and hopefully continue to find us, because we are going to have all kinds of wonderful guests, and the first three have knocked it out of the park. I have no doubt that Nate's going to do the same thing. It's my job to tee them up. I really believe that especially connecting with, you know, the folks that maybe aren't around as much anymore, you know, the coaches and managers and players that have maybe been a big part of our lives at some point, but now are no longer on that big stage. And Nate's a great example, being a Minnesota kid from Elk River, and had such a great career and did so many good things in the community. So that's what this show is all about. And I'm really excited about where this thing is going. I want you to be a part of it too. I want you to, if you know of somebody, or maybe you've got a business that you're involved in where you want to maybe get a little more exposure, especially in the world of hockey, where there's so many great people involved and will come to your business. And Karen Cleary here at Talk North can take care of you, and we'll get you out there and we will pump it up and bring people to you. We'll build your business. You can email her at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y, kcleary@talknorth.com, and be a part of Wooden Sticks. Today's edition features Elk River's own Nate Prosser, and we'll get to that after this quick break. All right, we're back on the show, and as I talked about at the start, really looking forward to this conversation with Nate Prosser, former member of the Minnesota Wild, Elk River's finest. And Nate, you've done the podcast thing. You know how this works. Looking forward to just catching up with you. And it's called Wooden Sticks for a reason. We're going to go back in time, and I can't wait to hear about your journey starting in Elk River as a little kid at Hanky Pit.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Gorg. Yeah, I miss seeing you around the rink. And I was down at the XL last night, and I just brought up old memories and old relationships. And you were definitely one of the guys I always loved seeing in the rink and smiling.
Well, I'm old enough now, and I've done this gig long enough where there are players like you where I covered your entire career. And it's exciting for me. You know, it can be depressing because I'm, you know, now 57 and on my way to 60 here soon enough. But the silver lining is, for a lot of you players, I got to see you play in high school, college, and all the way through your pro career. And it gives me a different connection, especially for a guy like you. And I guess I'll start here. For a Minnesota kid to have the chance to play in the NHL, in your hometown, for the Wild, how cool was that experience? And did you ever as a kid even imagine that was possible?
No. I mean, the answer is flat out no. you can even ask, you know, some of my biggest supporters through my life with my wife and my dad. And, you know, even when I was getting into my 20s, they probably still would say, you know what, Nate, make sure you're focusing on your education and getting your degree. And obviously that comes first. But it was I needed every step of the way. So when you talk about high school and then juniors and then college and then minors and then, you know, making the jump, I needed every step. I needed, to mature and get stronger and faster and, just all those different attributes that NHLers have. Like I didn't have those at 19 and 20, like some of these kids. So I needed it to come at 24, 25.
And, you know, Wooden Sticks, the premise of this show is, you know, taking us back to a window in time. When I played hockey, the equipment was completely different, but I'm much older than you are. But I still think the equipment has changed dramatically, you know, from the time that you played maybe youth hockey in Elk River. I know you played in some state tournaments in the early 2000s, but take us back to when you were playing youth hockey and where the equipment was then. What's the biggest change with what the guys are using now?
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember, like, wooden sticks were still a thing when I was growing up. I remember having the Sherwood coffee curve, and that was the kind of the sought after stick. And, you know, me and all my buddies were like, oh, man, you got the coffee. Yep. I'm going to get it, next week. Like, it was like the Paul Coffee curve that everyone is a big banana curve. And just kind of developed from there. Obviously, then it wasn't just the sticks, you know, like it. You know, obviously everyone wanted the Sherwood coffee, and then it went to the two piece. And then it was, what type of blade are you putting in it? And, you know, will it be able to withstand one timers? And then all of a sudden the one piece kind of came around, and that just changed the whole complexity of shooting and stick handling and passing. And then it wasn't just the sticks, it was, you know, skates. I mean, you put on a new pair of skates right now, it's, I mean, they're light as a feather, they fit like a glove, And the gloves. I mean, there's no big clunky leather gloves anymore. It's, you know, a different material that's, you know, super light. I mean, just the, you can't be a big robot out there that, you know, looks clunky. Everything's lighter and smoother and faster. And you definitely see that in the equipment that everyone's using these days. It's not about as much protection. It's just about light, how light it is. And, you know, the feel of the sticks.
It's a lot like golf, where the technology has allowed hockey and the game to evolve to a place where it's, I guess I don't want to use the word easier, because even the players these days are bigger and stronger and faster than what I grew up with in the 70s, 80s, into the 90s. But everything is geared towards moving the game at a faster pace. Shots come quicker. The equipment is lighter. You hit the nail on the head. And the players are different. You just watch some of these guys up close, and the game continues to evolve. And you mentioned you were at a Wild game recently, and it's got to be a little surreal for you, Nate, to come back and to watch. Like you said, it takes you back to a time in your life. Think about the amount of nights you had in St. Paul wearing that Wild sweater. So it's got to be almost bittersweet, because I'm sure you miss some of that.
Oh, man. No doubt. I miss it so much. And I think every player does. Honestly, whenever I wake up, I'm always like, man, I dreamed about playing in the NHL again. And it was a special time, definitely. And it was a dream come true. I was truly blessed to play it as long as I did. You know, I was able to sit up in the suite with Eric Staal, and we both just kind of looked at each other and talked to each other about, man, how did we compete and play out here? I mean, just the speed alone, it just everything's ramped up, and it's not just the NHL level. You go down to a scored A level. I mean, these kids are playing at a pace that they would have beat my scored A team 25-0. I mean, I went to a double A Bantam game here in Wayzata, and again, like there's 20 players on this team that all skate like the wind. They skate with their head up. They know where the puck needs to go. They shoot the puck like men. I mean, this Bantam team would embarrass my Bantam team and Elker. I mean, we had some very good teams, and just the way the game's advancing, and it continues to advance in a crazy speed, and even on the girl side, you know, I have four daughters that are all involved in hockey, and go to a girls game and watch some of these girls, the way they compete and how they skate. And it's a different game.
It is. It is a different game. And yet I think there are different things that happen within these seasons, within these games, that bring you back to a special time in your life. And here we are, the week we're recording this, there are a bunch of section finals lined up throughout the state of Minnesota on the boys' side. And Elk River, your alma mater, is in a section final this week against Buffalo. And I guess for you, a guy that played in two state tournaments, for me, there was pressure involved once you got to the state tournament. I don't think there's a game where I've ever felt more pressure than the final of my senior year, because for me, the section final, Nate, it's all or nothing, right? Your childhood dream is to play in the state tournament. You come to that rink the night of the section final, and especially for the seniors, it's a night where your hockey dreams come all the way full circle to fruition, or for some of these players, your career is over for good. All the chips are on the table. You got to go to the tournament twice. What was it like?
Yeah. Well, actually, I went to the tournament once, which is a lot of people don't know. Like I left halfway through my senior year to go to Sioux Falls. But I did play in my sophomore year, and it's so true. Like the section finals games, I mean, it's a one game. It's a one gamer. I mean, you run into a hot goalie, or they get a bounce off a shin pad and into your net. You know, just crazy stuff can happen that, you know, man, our season just ended. And you can, you know, kind of just sit in locker room and be like, oh, geez, like, look at the seniors. Like, that could have been their last game of their lives. And, you know, I remember some of the guys. And, you know, the experience of going to a state tournament here in Minnesota was, something I'll remember forever. Yeah, it was my sophomore year. We all of our games are at the fairgrounds at the Coliseum, and yep. just an old kind of just beat up barn. But it was a fun atmosphere to play in, and places packed, and just like all these section final games. I mean, I think they're all getting sold out. I went to Wayzata versus Edina last year, and I was standing on the steps. I mean, everyone was shoulder to shoulder in that place. Like, what an atmosphere! Like, what a cool experience for these kids. I hope they're all taking it in, because it's truly a unique situation here in Minnesota, where it is the state of hockey, where people do embrace it that much, and you see it at the state tournament. It's like, it's all anybody's talking about for that week. And it's super fun. I love going down to, an afternoon couple games, and I'm hoping my Elk River boys get in. But yeah, some things that I remember is just, man, we get to play at the XL Energy Center, and just the smells and the sights and the sounds, and being there with the guys I grew up with. And it was a truly special moment. We lost to Bloomington Jefferson in the first round. So, but just getting that game and getting there, and it was such a great accomplishment for us. And we ended up winning our next two games. So won the consolation my sophomore year. So it was a memory that, just sitting out on the bench, smelling the mini donuts, looking up, and the crowd is full. And, I never thought I'd play there. Then it just so happens that, I don't know how many years later, seven years later, I'm playing there with the Wild. I mean, it's just truly a good run. I was blessed to go on such a good run.
Yeah, it's a magical time of year. If you're a hockey player or a hockey fan, this time of year is sacred, and I just love it every year. And I'm so frustrated this week that normally the Wild are always out of town the week of the state tournament. This is my 18th year doing the job, so I know that I don't get to see a lot of the state tournaments anymore. Sometimes we get home in time to see the games on Championship Saturday, yeah. but we're almost always in town the week leading up to the tournament because of that. This year, it's different. We're on the road. I'm missing all these section finals. I'm having FOMO with that. And like you, I spent some time in the USHL. Now, I played in Des Moines. You played in Sioux Falls, as you mentioned. What was the hardest part of that transition? Because I got to tell you, Nate, leaving Burnsville after 1985, having that state championship run and heading down to Des Moines, I struggled. I really struggled the first half of that season. For you, what was the biggest challenge?
I remember vividly my parents driving me out there when I was 17 years old, dropping me off at a farm and driving away. And I was in tears. I'm like,
yes,
man, there's chickens and horses next to me. And I'm in the middle of, cornfields out in, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Like, what am I doing? And, I think just me and my dad had a lot of good conversations and what's your goals? What's your dreams? What's your aspirations? And, if that's what it is, then okay, this is the next step that you have to go. So you want to be a hockey player. The step from high school to juniors was the biggest one that I made. Just, it caused me to grow up. It caused me to become a man, caused me to, create my own schedule and do my own laundry and make my own food and just get out from being the baby of the family. You know what I'm saying? Like everything, like I was the baby and everything was decided for me and everything was done, so high school hockey, you go from, maybe we had a ton of practices with the JV team. So we're, flipping pucks around and, it was way more, chill and lack of a better term, just fun hockey. And that's the way hockey should be. But all of a sudden I go to juniors and it's, there's jobs, there's livelihoods on the line. So there's, yep. there's coaches are pulling me in for individual, you know, video sessions. And I remember vividly my first time, Mark Kaufman, my head coach in Sioux Falls, my first year, called me in his office. Man, I was like peeing my pants. I'm like, geez, what is going on here? Like, what, like, is he going to ream me out for, you know, me making a dumb play here or, you know, being out of position here? And it, you know, just, it, it made me realize like hockey, you know, kind of almost like took a step up, in my life as to, you know, how hard I needed to work at it and how hard I, you know, I needed to compete on a day-to-day basis. It wasn't just, you know, I don't like to say just fun hockey, you know, before that, but it, it turned into more like, okay, you know, guys are from all over the country here and we're all, you know, could be traded or could be moved around to here or there. And, you know, that was never a thing before. So it just kind of opened my eyes to, man, like this is more of a hopefully a career path.
Well, it ended up being a big step for you.
Yeah. Huge. And that wasn't what I was thinking in my mind at 17 is like, oh man, this is what I'm going to play hockey for my career. It was just like, I need to, you know, certain things I need to grow in the game, in my game to reach my goals. And that was to play in the WCHA.
And you end up doing that. How do you end up being a member of the college program at Colorado College and have such a great run there? How did it end up happening? And how many choices did you have along the way?
Honestly, not many. I was a late bloomer. I was late to the scene. You know, Gophers are recruiting guys at a younger age. And I grew a foot in 1 year. So from, you know, 16 to 17, I went from just a little runt, like 5'2" to, you know, 6'2". And, you know, I obviously needed a little time to grow into that frame and that, and I needed, you know, a couple years of juniors and so Gophers and St. Cloud and North Dakota, those are the teams I grew up watching and that, you know, I was hoping would come around, but they never did. And, you know, we did some family trips out to Colorado when I was younger. And, so I loved the state and I kind of dug into Denver and CC a little bit more and just like, is this a possibility? Is this something that would interest me? And, you know, I just loved, I took a visit to both of them and loved both campuses. So in the back of my mind, I'm just like, you know, it's my goal to play in the WCHA. Both teams are very good hockey programs. Either one of these teams come, I'm going to jump at it. And just so happened CC came first and was super excited for it. Had a great 4 years there. We had some good teams, some good relationships from there. And I love being in Colorado. Got me away from home even more than Sioux Falls. You know, Sioux Falls is so close enough where, you know, my parents are out a ton. You know, CC is, you know, I was out there and, you know, talk about, you know, making decisions on my own and, you know, still growing up as a man. That was still happening, you know, from 20 to 24 out there.
And that conference at that time, and again, right now we live in a world where the Big Ten kind of changed the landscape of college hockey, but you were there from 2006 roughly through 2010, and the WCHA was the premier conference in college hockey. It was Friday and Saturday night. It was appointment television. And in this market, you knew everybody on every team, including Colorado College, including Denver, North Dakota. You know, you had the team in Mankato, St. Cloud, Bemidji. I mean, this conference was where all the powers were, at least on the Western side in college hockey. Yeah. So for you, that had to be an awesome experience.
Yeah. It was, you know, there's a big debate on, you know, whether Hockey East or WCHA was better. Well, in my mind, obviously I'm going to say WCHA. And I think, you know, you got the Gophers in North Dakota and Wisconsin, Duluth, and, you know, just team, you know, a lot of good parity. And, you know, any given night we're, you know, going up and playing St. Cloud or Mankato, and it's a dogfight and, you know, just a ton of really, really, really good players. And you know, obviously growing up in the state of Minnesota, you're able to see a lot of the WCHA games. And, you know, I grew up in Elk River where, you know, a lot of people cheered for St. Cloud, a lot of people cheered for the Gophers. It was kind of in between. And, you know, again, like I was kind of would have loved to play for either one of those, but I was just kind of late to the scene. They didn't notice me when I was growing up or anything like that. I didn't make any select teams, you know, select 15, 16, 17s. I was all cut from. And so I just kind of CC almost kind of was the first to come, and I was excited for it. And, you know, the competition was super good. So I knew year in, year out, you're guaranteed to just continue to improve because of the competition.
At what point in your time as a college hockey player did you start to think that there might be a possibility here that I can be an NHL hockey player?
I actually talked to my dad about this not long ago, because I was kind of thinking about it. And honestly, I had a really good sophomore year. My freshman year, I got hurt. I had a bad concussion early in the season. So, you know, it took me a little while to get back from that. It was probably my worst injury in hockey. I kind of got hit a little bit from behind and a guy coming in front of me. So it was kind of like a domino, and got pulled off on a stretcher and was out for, 4 to 6 weeks or something. And then even after that, I was kind of in and out of the lineup. But my sophomore year, I had a really good year. I played with Jack Killen. It's someone that a lot of people will know from Minnesota, Minnetonka kid, played at Holy Angels, played in the NHL for the Capitals in Nashville, and really good D partner. And I ended up getting invited to a development camp with the St. Louis Blues after that season. And, for one, I can't tell you how excited I was just to, get this invite. I remember driving out of my parents' house. I roll down the windows and I just start yelling, over excitement. I'm just like, wow. And it was just like kind of a cheesy development camp in July, but just talking with, my dad more about it. I'm like, you know what it did for me? It made me see, where I fit with people outside of America. Like there was a lot of Canadians there, obviously there's all their draft picks. So I'm kind of eyeing up their first and second round picks and their defensemen that, let's see how much I need to improve in this area or that area, or see how close I am to ability with these guys. And honestly, I felt like in my mind, I'm like, I'm close. I'm pretty darn close. I was stood in line against or with this first round draft pick that they had. He's a lefty defenseman. I won't say his name, but I watched him carefully, and I kind of just, I thought, I'm not far off. So all of a sudden in my mind, it starts ticking. I'm like, man, I'm just going to keep working at it, keep trying to improve my shot, keep trying to improve my speed, because that's where people would tell me that I lacked. Well, there's a drive inside of me that was like, okay, if these draft picks are going home and shooting 100, 200 pucks a day, well, I need to match that and some. And if I need to go out and do more sprints or plyometrics at the track by myself, I'll do that in Elk River, Minnesota. It's just that drive was in me. And I tell kids so many times these days, that drive has to come from within you. That can't come from dad. That can't come from an agent or your grandpa or your mom. That drive's got to come from within you. And I had that. So all of a sudden I go back home the rest of the summer, work my tail off. And I still had two more years at CC. So I just kind of put my nose down, kept trying to improve. And the best part is I just love the game. First and foremost, I just love being at the rink. I went to the rink with a smile on my face each and every day. And I just love being a part of the locker room and improving on certain areas of my game. So next year I go back, have another good year, got invited to the Islanders development camp the next year. And again, the same mentality is, okay, where do I match? Another couple, I think like Kelvin DeHaan was out there and can't remember if Nick Leddy was out there. Just guys that, okay, I'm just going to see where I match up. Let's see. If I'm way off, let's just make sure I'm getting my degree in economics and grinding that out. But all of a sudden in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm not far off. okay, well, I got another year, go back to CC and, you know, have another really good year, my senior year. And I was a free agent. So, I was able to kind of see where the interest was. It just so happened that there's, you know, five or six teams interested, and Minnesota Wild was one of them. And it's kind of a no brainer from there.
How much do you remember about your first game in the National Hockey League? Nate, every kid that ever put a pair of skates on has that dream. What do you remember about that particular game?
Oh man. Honestly, I almost remember it like it was 3 days ago. I remember everything about it. Not necessarily the game part, but just everything leading up to it. You know, Todd Richards coming up to me before in morning skate, asked me if I'm ready to play, and I'm like, whoa, okay. I thought I was just here to practice the rest of the year, and just so happened that, you know, Zanin and Zidlicky and Schultz, I think, got hurt or something. I think three defensemen got hurt. And, you know, when I originally signed with them, they're like, we can't guarantee any games, but you're going to come here and stay up with the Minnesota Wild, learn what it's like to be a pro and meet, you know, create relationships with everybody. And, well, he came up to me in the morning skate and asked, yeah, ready to play. And I'm, you know, and wow. Okay. Yeah. Of course I'm ready. So, I didn't take a pregame nap that day. I just remember making, you know, 600 calls and text messages, and, you know, an idiot of me, I didn't even think there was an international plan. And just so happened my phone bill that month was like $700. But, I was super excited for the game, you know, putting on the jersey for the first time and, you know, having, you know, looking across and seeing, you know, guys that I grew up watching, like Mikko Koivu, in the locker room with me. And, I don't know, just a lot of nerves and butterflies. But as a hockey player, you know that when the puck drops and you get, you know, that first shift in, you get hit or you throw a hit, it's just another game. And that's kind of how I took it. And so I played the last three games of that season and played them well. I knew that first impressions matter, especially being undrafted, that I needed to, you know, not only – you know, play hard, but I needed to, you know, play my A game. And I feel like I did that.
And you did that a lot. And so I've got one more, and then we're going to get to the hat trick hot seat, which is a staple here on the Wooden Sticks podcast, where we're going to give Nate three direct questions that he has to answer in rapid fire fashion. But I'm a movie guy, Nate. And if I was developing a movie back in 2014, and I was going to have that movie revolve around Hockey Day, Minnesota, I'd want it at a historic place where everybody in that town knew that's where you went to play hockey, Hanky Pit. I'd order up a perfect winter day in Minnesota, low 20s, light snow, and sunshine. I'd watch outdoor hockey. And then if I was making a movie that night in the NHL game, I'd make sure it was a great game. It would go to overtime. And then the kid on the Wild roster from Elk River is going to come on the ice in overtime, which he never did, by the way. And he's going to score the game-winning goal and cap off the perfect Hockey Day Minnesota. You lived out my movie dream. And I got to tell you, it's one of my very favorite moments that I've ever had, being a part of a Hockey Day or any broadcast for that matter. I can't imagine what it was like for you.
Oh, man. You're telling me. It was one of the very special moments of my career. Just kind of a picturesque day. It was a day that I was receiving a lot of texts, obviously from buddies that were up in Elk River and a part of the day up there. I loved Hockey Day, and I still do. Even this year, you know, waking up and, you know, turning the TV on and having hockey on all day and just feeling the excitement around the state over the game. It was the same on that day. Obviously no pregame nap for me that day. I was just kind of buzzing. Got to the rink early. Did my normal routine and, you know, cracked a Red Bull and, you know, felt like I could obviously run through the wall. Like you said, I overtime would come around and normally I, you know, could start unstrapping my elbow pads and take my, loosening up my skates a little bit because there was no chance I was getting on the ice. And Rick Wilson says, "Pross, you're up next." And, I honestly had to look back at him just to see if like he was smiling, you know, kind of making a joke of it. And he's like, no, you're up. And you know, I don't know who came, Spurge came, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, just jump over the boards. I felt like, let's go see if, I can just stay even this shift. Well, just felt like there's a good opportunity for me to jump into the play. I saw, I think Coyle had the puck behind the net, passed it out to Niederreiter, and no one was really protecting me or had an eye on me. So I just felt like, man, I'm going to go see if I can, you know, kick in a rebound or something. And just so happened, it bumped out to me and put it in. And yeah, it's a highlight of my career for sure. I mean, there was a bunch of them, but that one's is right near the top.
Well, I got to be honest. In the last couple of days, I went back to YouTube and I've watched that replay probably 20 times. I still get chills. I do, Nate, every time I watch it. And my favorite part of the entire highlight reel is the look on your face when you get in the corner and you're waiting for your teammates. That's the look of just pure happiness. And that's what the game gives us. And so it makes me smile hearing you kind of take me through that experience, because truthfully, for all of us that work at the station, it's Christmas Day for us. Like, it's the one day where everybody from our entire company is involved and top to bottom. And they've been doing this for weeks, in some cases, months and years. Like, the producer and director put in a couple of years on each site, like trying to get it all just right. And to have it play out the way it did that year, I don't know how you top it. So it's really cool to hear you kind of recant your emotions and how you handled that experience. So now we've come to the final part of the pod. It's the hat trick hot seat. And I've got three questions for you, Nate. There's no wrong answer. I'll lead with that. So you can't really screw this up, but we're going to start with the first question. And this is a tough one. Your favorite NHL road city as a player that you visited over the years?
Well, right out of the hop, it's got to be Las Vegas, but I didn't get a ton of time to play there, but another city that, you know, I seemed to have a lot of success against was the Dallas Stars. So whenever we got to go down to Dallas, the weather was great. The hotel was great. It's an easy flight.
Hotel's the best arena in the league, by the way.
Yes.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I love
it. The Crescent
it. Love
Court
it.
Is as good yes. as it gets.
Oh, my gosh, Gorgie. I cannot even tell you, like, how much I miss some of those hotels. And the Crescent Court is right at the top. And, just a ton of good steakhouses, obviously, in that city. And I don't know how many. I think I had around 50 points in my career. I bet pretty darn near half of them were against the Dallas Stars. Like, honestly, it's just a team that appealed to my eye, I guess. And I loved going down there and playing.
Well, you're a Minnesota kid, and they took our team. They are the North Stars. And the goal we just referenced from Hockey Day Minnesota in Elk River, the overtime winner was against the Dallas Stars. So you have terrific numbers, and I'm really happy you did, because Norm Green still sucks in my eyes for taking our club. Now, question number two will be a fun one, because you know, I've known Nate Prosser since he had a full head of hair. And like me, I've got three daughters. He's got four. Doesn't have the same hair he had when I first met him, but you've always had a look. And that look to me always reminded me of Stifler from the American Pie series. So you've got a little movie star to you. You're a good looking guy. Right. So I've got to know your celebrity crush as we sit here right now recording this pod.
I mean, it's so easy. I mean, I'm sure everyone says Jennifer Aniston. but I would probably say that Margot Robbie, that Wolf of Wall Street girl.
She's so good.
You know what I'm talking about?
She was Barbie. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, and Barbie. Yeah. I didn't see the movie Barbie yet. You know, I'm glad my daughters didn't want me to take them to that, because that would have been painful to sit through. But probably her.
Good pick. The final question, and again, no wrong answer. Golf is a fun thing. Hockey players love to come to the game of golf. I think it, number one, fits their season, because the off season, especially if you live in this part of the country, is so damn nice, and you appreciate the warm weather. If you were going to go out this summer and you were told, number one, you could play any course in Minnesota and it'd be you and three others, so it's a dream foursome, and as long as they're on this earth, they're going to show up for this golf with Nate Prosser, Give me the three people you're bringing on that golf course, and which course are you going to play here in Minnesota with that dream foursome?
Oh my gosh.
It's a tough one, man. Tough one.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. This one's a little harder.
Maybe Margot Robbie's a golfer. Who knows? I mean, yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if my wife would allow me to.
I don't think that's going to go with Brittany at all. Yeah, no, Brittany will not approve. Yeah. Will your dad make the cut?
No. No, I play with him enough that, you know.
I love it.
I'm trying to think of the course first. Well, Spring Hill is great. I would probably say Spring Hill, and it's got to be with, I'm trying, you know, some athletes, maybe like Tom Brady. I'd love to, you know, pick his brain a bit. Hard not to say Gretzky and Michael Jordan, just some.
That's perfect.
Absolute savages that domination doesn't even explain how much those guys had in their sports.
And they all love to golf. Like that's the one defining characteristic of all those guys.
And they probably all love to gamble. I love throwing money on the line. Yeah, that's the best.
Well, I knew you'd pick Vegas on the first one for at least part of your answer, because I do vividly remember on those wild charters, you know, all of us in the media sitting the way back, the players are in the middle, and the coaches and management in the front. Well, Nate was always the guy that ran the card game on the airplane or the number board come Super Bowl time. So he was our guy. And I remember you guys had the horse racing game going for a while. And
Al
Stalock's running up and down the plane. And it was fun, man.
I remember even after like a loss, like Stalock's running up and down the aisle. Like coaches are all serious. Everyone else is all quiet. And we're like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if we can be that loud. But we didn't. I mean, honestly, like we didn't care. And those are the memories I miss the most. Whenever anyone asks me, like, what do you miss the most? It's always like this time that I got to hang with guys in the locker room, time on the airplane, card games, going out to dinners. It wasn't any really specific goal or game or moment of hockey. It was all, you know, and I'm such a relationship type guy that I loved all my teammates. And that's definitely the card games were one of the top things for me to do.
I just, you know, I mentioned this before we connected here today, that the passion you had for the game, you always had a smile on your face. Like I remember every time I saw you at the rink, and, you know, for all of us that work covering the Wild, we're there on practice days. We're there on days in the dog days of winter when nobody really feels like going to the rink, but we're all there. And you always seem to enjoy every moment. And so I understand completely what you're saying. Like this for you was such a great fit. Like being a pro hockey player was a great fit for you, because I could tell how much you loved the game of hockey and how much you loved being around the guys. And so I get that you miss it, because you, Nate, you were a huge part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I try to treat everybody. I mean, we're called to love people, and I wanted to treat the Zamboni driver, to our security staff, to our valet drivers, to my teammates, to my coaches, to my trainers. I wanted to treat them like all with the most in media. I mean, everybody, like I wanted everyone to feel loved and respected. And it doesn't take much to do that. It's a simple stop and start a minute or two conversation. And I don't know. I loved, you know, just being a part of the locker room and pouring into people. And that's truly what I miss the most.
I get it. And you did it though. I watched you live it out every day, and just really, really thrilled that we had a chance to connect today on the pod, Nate. Thank you for taking the time for doing this. And I hope we can connect down the road some more. I hope if you come down to a game here later this year, you stop down and say hi to Aaron Sickman, myself, and all the cronies running around.
Of course.
The bowels of the arena, as you would call them. But thanks for doing this today, buddy.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Gorgie. Yeah, I wish you nothing but the best. And, I miss you. Hopefully see you soon. Yeah, this is the best time of year for hockey, so I'd love to get back down to a game or two. I love the playoff push, and the Wild are in it right now. So I'm excited to get back to another game.
It's going to be fun to see if they can pull it off. It'd be a heck of a run if they can do it. Nate Prosser right here on Wooden Sticks. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We'll put a wrap on the show and tee up some good things coming here in the future on this Talk North Network podcast. You're listening to Wooden Sticks with Kevin Gore. We're back on Wooden Sticks and terrific conversation with Nate Prosser. And you can just, again, hearing his voice and feeling that passion and the love he had for the game of hockey when he played and just the type of guy Nate is. He's just got such a wonderful, energetic personality and loved my time with him when he was a player for the Wild and really enjoyed reconnecting today and hearing some of those cool stories from Nate. Some of that stuff I had no idea. I know a lot about his career. I've been there for a lot of those big moments and some of the stuff, it was brand new today for me. And so that's kind of the idea with the show is, you know, we try to find intriguing personalities, fun people that made an impact on the game of hockey here in Minnesota. And there are so many people. When I started putting together a list, this was one of the first names I thought of because of our time together when I covered the Wild and just knowing that Nate's the type of outgoing guy that can really spin a tale, a lot like Louie Nanny, right? You just got to put the mic on, tee him up, and let him go to work. And that's the kind of guy Nate is. And so really enjoyed further getting to know some of the details around his life and his journey as a hockey player in Minnesota. And I just think, you know, for a guy like Nate, he did all the little things well. Like he was the player that was blocking shots. He was the guy that was in charge of moving people around the blue paint. And yeah, once in a while, if his teammates were in a tough situation, he was the guy in charge of dropping the leather and going toe to toe with somebody. Those are tough things to do. I mean, he played the game hard every night and he did not have an easy role on that hockey team. And as I mentioned on the front part of the show, you don't play as many games as he played and play as long as Nate did without being a special player. And you don't need to be an all-star defenseman to be a special player. I would tell you, any coach that had him at any level would tell you, you pop in that lineup every night, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get an effort. You're going to get grit. You're going to get a player that's going to go out there and play with that passion. And when you play that role on the blue line, that's a super important role. And he did it at a high level for a very, very long time and played through a lot of injuries. He had some concussions early in his career, very difficult on Nate, especially playing that role, because if you go back to when he played for the Wild, and we used to talk about this on the broadcast, you know, he was the guy that when that puck was chipped in, he's the guy that always said, I'll go get it, I'll go make a play. And a lot of times he's taken a hit to make that play. Think about a defenseman going back in this league, and now these forwards are averaging 6'2", 6'3", 215 pounds. They skate like the wind, and you're the guy that's going to go back behind that goal line. You're going to go back and make a pass, make a play, reverse the puck, chip it to the center, and you're going to get rammed into that wall every time. He was that guy, and he was willing to pay the price. And I think, you know, Wayne Gretzky said it best many, many years ago. It's not about the stats. When you're a hockey player, it's about coming back in that locker room and earning the respect of your teammates and your coaches. Well, I'm here to tell you, walking all those years side by side covering the Minnesota Wild when Nate Prosser was there, he earned the respect of his teammate and coaches because of the guy he was on and off the ice. Just a terrific, terrific human being. Really appreciate his time today on Wooden Sticks. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen. We've had four phenomenal guests. We're just getting started on this cool journey. And I want you or your business to be a part of the show as well. And Karen Cleary here at Talk North has the hookup. We're going to elevate your business. We're going to pump it up. And we're going to bring a lot of people, a lot of ears here on this show, a lot of eyeballs to your spot. And that's what we're going to try to do. K Cleary, C-L-E-A-R-Y, K Cleary at TalkNorth.com. Get involved in a sponsorship on this show. And we will give our very best efforts to bringing more customers to you and pumping up your business as best we can. I was very excited today and pumped up to talk to Nate Prosser from Elk River. What a journey he had into the USHL, over to Colorado College, onto the Minnesota Wild, playing for his hometown team, scoring that magical goal back in 2014 in overtime to beat the hated Dallas Stars on Hockey Day, Minnesota. Talk about a Walt Disney movie moment playing out live. It was incredible to be in the building that night. The roof nearly came off the XL Energy Center. So thank you again for being a part of Wooden Sticks. I look forward to chatting with you on our next episode. See you down the road.